Faith means departing from comfort zones. And I just want you to repeat this phrase with me. It's funny that Ed talked about it a little bit in the Torah portion. But just repeat this phrase with me. Change is tough. Let's say that. Change is tough. Okay? And Ed did talk about change. And that's what I'm going to really be talking about today. And, you know, even in extreme cases where change is actually a very positive thing, it's still very difficult for people making changes. And the best example I can get is somebody who is leaving prison even after a long period of time. Even that change is difficult. As much as the person wants to get out and anticipates being freed, the change is still extremely tough. In fact, I remember we had a member here for a couple of years who had just gotten out of prison after 10 years. And it was very tough. It was just tough because change is just tough. There's no question about it. But I just want to say this, is that God is in the changing business. So that means that change often is coming from the Lord because he often precipitates changes in people's lives. And the question is why does the Lord do such a thing? And the answer is because it's very easy to become too settled in our lives. In other words, just with the pattern and habits and regular things that we have to do, it's very easy to get settled in those things, and so we become kind of blah spiritually, literally. You know, you become somewhat mediocre because everything is just going on the way it is. And the only real constant in life is the Lord. And yet, what happens is we assume that there's a whole variety of other things that are constants as well, and they're really not. And change teaches us that the Lord is ultimately the only constant in life. Now, I'm talking about faith today, faith means departing from comfort zones, and I've actually put down a definition of faith, you know, in your bulletin today, and I just want to say it, and I'm going to say it a few times, because I mean, there's a lot of definitions for faith, but this is one I think is important, and that is this. Faith is taking an action in obedience to God that results in change. And I'm going to say that again. Faith is taking an action in obedience to God that results in change. There's a variety of examples in the scriptures. We remember the story of Abraham, where he, by faith, you know, he left his homeland. We all remember the story. It's read earlier in the portion during the year. And he takes an action in obedience to the Lord. The Lord calls him to leave. He leaves, and it results in a very, very significant change for him, for his family, and then for the entire world. We remember the story, of course, of Moses, where after going out in the wilderness for quite a period of time, the Lord calls him to take an action in obedience, to go back to Egypt, to return to the place that he came from, and to deliver the people. And it resulted, this action of faith resulted in a major change in his life, his family's life, and also again, once again, in the entire world as well. And what we've just had, just finding in the portions that we're reading right now, is the same is true with the Israelites. They had lived in Egypt for hundreds of years, and now all of a sudden the Lord is calling them to come out. They're taking a faith in obedience to the call of God that's resulting in a major change. They come out, but honestly, the Israelites have a difficult time coming out of Egypt because of the change that was necessitated by them coming out. And what happens is today's portion involves the reality check of change. I want us to say that, the reality check of change. Let's say it, the reality check of change. Because change causes a reality check, even if a change is something that we like. Because, why? Because even in the best of circumstances, change is always tough. We find our security in what we know and where we've been. And so when change occurs, it challenges our security, and that's the reason that it's such a difficult thing. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11, which is part of the portion today. We want to focus on this a little bit here. Numbers chapter 11. Now we come to Numbers 11, and it's about 1 year after the departure from Egypt. The children of Israel have been now at Sinai. Right when they received the Torah, they've been there now for about 10 months. And at Sinai, a series of things happens, very dramatic things. The giving of the Torah, of course, exists at Sinai. They meet with the Lord at Sinai. They build the tabernacle at Sinai. The presence of the Lord comes and dwells in the tabernacle at Sinai. All these things. It's been a very, very eventful year for the Israelites. And now the Lord tells them it's time to move. And that's the dramatic story of the Lord coming down in the Shekinah, the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle. And the scripture says in this portion that when the Spirit, when the presence leaves, then they're to leave, and so on and so forth. And so now the presence of the Lord lifts up and they start to travel. And where are they going? They're going toward the promised land. And they've only been gone for 3 days. And now suddenly we come to verse 4, chapter 11. Let's see what happens here. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna, which means what is this? So in other words, we never see anything but what is this? And that's what they called it. And so here they are. But you see, what the Israelites are saying is actually very instructive to all of us, because they're reacting in a very typical human way. See, we look back and we say, what a bunch of jerks, you know? It's like they should have known better. They just came through the Red Sea. They saw the drama of God and so on and so forth. But you see, this is very instructive, because we do exactly the same thing as the Israelites do when we start to complain in the way that they complain. And look at verse 5, because this is really the key verse. This is what they say. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. You see, they remembered the good times in Egypt. Now, were they really good times? Well, overall, no. Because they'd been crying for hundreds of years to get out of Egypt. And so we're wondering, it's like, hello, you know, what happened to you here? You know, but what the reality is that the change, even coming out of Egypt, created insecurity and colored the past to make the past look a lot better than it really was. And that's what happens when we go through change. We look back on the past and it suddenly takes on a new look, a look that didn't even exist at an earlier period. That's the reality. You know, I remember we were, as many of you know here, most of you know here probably, that we've worked with the Russian immigrants in this city for over 10 years. And many of the older Russian immigrants still long for the home country. Now, what did they come out of? They came out of bondage. They came out of, they came out of communism. They came out of slavery. And now they've come to a country that's free, and yet many of them long for the old country. Why is that the case? It's not suddenly that they think it was great, but what happens is because the challenges of change have created such insecurity that they now look back on the past and see it in a new way. That's not even realistic. That's what happens with change. It causes us to reflect back and see things differently than we saw them at the time. And see, it happens to us all the time. The reality is that the Lord is the one who brings change into our lives. Sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes we're anticipating the change. And it's exciting because we're expecting better times. And then we come to the reality check, which is just like what the portion is right here. Suddenly there's new trials. There's unexpected developments. We can't rely on the old methods because we can't return to the past. And so it gets a little bit scary for all of us because we don't know what to do. And where do we turn? The answer is real simple. It's we turn to the Lord, because he wants us to ultimately learn that true security is in him alone. Security in anything other than God is a complete fabrication. It's completely false. And that's the difficulty that we face in life, especially when things are good in our lives, when things are secure. It's very easy to rely on those things. And then suddenly, when the rug gets yanked out from underneath us, suddenly it's like, whoa, where do I go? What am I supposed to do? What's happened to me? And you know what's happened to you? The Lord is challenging you to make him your security, to make him your God, and to find only our security and comfort in the Lord alone. The scripture says this. We're familiar with these scriptures. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. There's another scripture that you're familiar with. He who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of the Messiah Yeshua. What does this mean? This means that things that are happening, God is going to use for his purposes in your life. And we need to respond to God's working and recognize that he's trying to get to something that we don't see. And he's trying to remove idols and idolatry in our life so that we recognize that the only true constant is the Lord and him alone. Now you see, any change that's precipitated by God is a stepping stone to God's destiny and purpose for you. That's the key. In Egypt, the people were in bondage. Even Sinai was a stepping stone. It was the launching point for the next step, and it meant more change was on the way. You see, change always requires sacrifice. And what kind of sacrifices are required in change? It's the sacrifice of the known. It's the sacrifice of security. That's what we have to give up when change comes along. And it means even that we have to sacrifice good things to produce better things. Those of you that are into gardening, you will recognize this. Because if you want to, you know, you start working on a bush, you've got to prune a bush. But when you prune a bush, you're not just pruning away the dead branches, but you're also pruning away good branches. You know, in the bush, you know, if the bush had some sense to him, right, the bush would be saying, hey, what are you doing here? You're cutting off, you know, yeah, get rid of these dead, but what about these good branches? Look how long that branch is, man. I'm just reaching out. And you as the caretaker say, no, you're out of line here, Jack. You're out of line. We've got to cut you off. And so the bush is saying, no, this is where my glory is experiencing, but you're just going off track. And so the good sometimes has to be sacrificed for the better. Right? To make it better, to make the bush more of a flourishing bush and so on. That's the reality. You see, and this is the reason that we're often resistant to change, because change requires sacrifice and we don't want to give things up. We'd rather let things be the way they are sometimes, even if they're not so good, because we're afraid of the insecurity of change. Faith is taking an action in obedience to God that results in change. Now, I can absolutely guarantee you this, that if the Lord is asking you to do something in faith, you will face opposition from those around about you. Always. It's an absolute guarantee. Sometimes it's loved ones. Sometimes it's co-laborers, family, friends, and so on. Let's take the story of Abraham. Now, we don't know exactly how his family reacted to Abraham's leaving the land of Ur. But let's imagine a little bit what it would have been like, the family that he left behind. Can you imagine all of a sudden he tells his family that he's leaving. And so his family says to him, so where are you going? Well, I don't know. I'm just leaving. Well, who told you to go? Well, the Lord. Well, who is the Lord? Well, I don't really know. He's a God who I can't see. Now, everybody else, they have gods they can see. So they're saying, okay, do we need to make an appointment for you to see Dr. Liu or someone? Because I think you have a delusion problem here, right? You see, what happens is there's always opposition to change, often from loved ones. Same with Moses. You know the story of Moses. And in this case, it's actually written in the scripture. Moses' wife had struggles with the change. Here, Moses gets a call of God from a burning bush, which his wife doesn't see. And suddenly, the Lord is calling him to go back to the land from which he came, from which he was about to be killed. And then he comes back with his family. Now his wife, Zipporah, was not from the land of Egypt. She was from the land from which they came. And so she starts giving a hard time with Moses when he's almost slayed by the angel because the children had not been circumcised. And his wife gets so angry, she quickly circumcises the children and says, you're a bloody husband to me. Throws down the circumcised pieces on the ground. I mean, that would have not been too thrilling, but regardless, all right? But the point is that opposition was coming because of what? Because of the change that was being required because of the faith action. The typical questions that we get from people around about us when the Lord is calling us to do something that's going to result in change are things like this. Why do you have to do this? Are you a religious fanatic or something? What's wrong with your life now? Or what am I going to do now that you're going to do this? Those are the typical kinds of reactions. Sometimes your changing is actually threatening to others. And so they're going to ask the question, are you saying there's something wrong with me when you're to take a certain action based upon what the Lord is saying? I remember when I was, after I'd left Capitol Hill, and I was working in this consulting firm, and we were making piles of money. And then we came to a conflict about a year and a half later with the partners. And we had this meeting together, and it was a major conflict about the direction. I couldn't resolve it after a multi-hour meeting. And I was driving home that night, and the Lord spoke to me, because I knew I'd been called into the ministry, but I wasn't able to get out. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me, this is your opportunity to get out, go into the ministry. So the next day, I came back in, met with the partners, and I said, you know what, I'm leaving, going into the ministry. I'll never forget. They were stunned. They were shocked. Now, they knew from years before that they felt like they knew. I told them before that I believed the Lord was going to call me into the ministry and stuff. But suddenly, in the midst of all this prosperity, you're giving this all up and just going. And I remember they're just stunned by this action because of this. Faith is taking an action in obedience to God that results in change. And that's what happened. Now, I want to make one thing that's absolutely clear here, because sometimes we have people, they just take this kind of word and they go crazy with it. And I'm just going to say this. I'm talking about change that's precipitated by the Lord, not just change for the sake of change. And I'm talking about a person who's obeying his call that is confirmed by others in leadership. Because sometimes as individual believers, you get this idea, oh, the Lord's called me to blah, 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 good, go out, do this and do whatever. And that, if it's confirmed by those who you're walking with in leadership, that's an acceptable call from the Lord. But if it's not, then I have to seriously question whether it's from God or not and so forth. Because, you know, we all are in a kind of a learning stage. But those who are truly called, faith is always taking an action in obedience to God that results in change, and it often results in opposition. Now, as you obey, which does take faith, you will find unexpected challenges after you've taken the step, which ultimately requires even more faith. And this is what Moses found in Numbers chapter 11. And let's look at it. Numbers 11, verse 18. This is after the people have started complaining about what happened. And we come to Numbers 11, verse 18. It says this, tell the people, this is the Lord, to tell Moses, tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, if only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. Jump down to verse 21. But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you will say, I'm going to give them meat to eat for a whole month? Would they have enough? If flocks and herds were slaughtered for them, would they have enough? If all of the fish in the sea were caught for them? And the Lord answered, is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. You see, what's the unexpected challenge for Moses here? See, he assumed that with all of the dramatic signs that the Israelites had seen coming out of Egypt, that would be the last time there would be any doubt, any question about who is the Lord. And suddenly, as soon as they get moving, boom, there are these questions about, you know, I don't have this, I don't have that, and so forth. And so Moses is overcome. He gets ticked off, and he starts rebuking the Israelites, which ultimately gets him into trouble later on, which we learn about. And then Moses assumes that he's got to somehow supply the food for all these hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people. And then he gets God's answer. The Lord wanted to teach everyone a lesson here, because what happens is this, is that when we do step out in faith, we always face unexpected developments even after we've obeyed the Lord. I remember again, after I left this consulting firm, I left with royalties because we were making a lot of money, had royalties spread out over a year and a half. And I went to seminary based on those royalties. And everything looked really fine. Everything was great. Looked like I was going to have a position in another place thereafter in a ministry after the royalties would end. And then all of a sudden, the very month that the royalties ended and I was supposed to start this ministry position that was paid, the ministry position closed, and suddenly I was with no income whatsoever and no more assets, just like that. And so what had happened? It was an unexpected development that occurred after I had taken an action of faith. And so the question is, now what? What am I supposed to do? And the answer is this, like Moses, Is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not I will. You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. When the Lord tells you to do something, He will provide down the road. You can be guaranteed that there's going to be tests of faith, unexpected developments that are going to require more faith. However, the Lord will come through. It is always going to be the case. If the Lord was the one who called you, He will provide. Just like Moses, God supernaturally provided for us for that particular year. Now, I want to share one other story about my own life that is connected to all this to help you to understand what it means to really taking a step of faith and what it means departing from our comfort zones. Because if you're going to walk with God, you better be used to departing from your comfort zone. That's the reality. And here's the story. I've shared part of this before, I believe. This is a story, this was shortly after I'd become a believer. I was in college, and there was a lot of changes occur to anybody once they become a believer, especially in the early years, because there's a lot of changes that have to occur in your own life. I was a freshman in college at this time. I'd only known the Lord for about a year, and we're getting ready for our spring break, and the leader of the group that I was with said, he challenged us, you know, that we not go home for our spring break, but we go down to Florida to witness our faith on the beaches of Florida and so forth. Now, I wasn't really interested in this. I mean, I was dating a girl at home. You know, I hadn't seen her in a number of months. I was looking forward to kind of going back there and hanging out and so forth. And so I decided I'm not going to go. But the leader challenged me and he said, have you asked the Lord? Did you ask the Lord whether He wanted you to go or not? So I had to be honest. I said no. Didn't really want to. But I said no, I didn't. He says, why don't you ask the Lord? So I said, okay, I'll ask the Lord. So I said to the Lord, Lord, if you really want me to go, then on Sunday of this coming week, I want you to have my girlfriend call me. Now, she had never called ever since I've been in college, so I figured I'd be relatively safe. And so Sunday came along. I was a little bit nervous. Went to bed, and all of a sudden, phone rings out in the hallway. Somebody says, hey, Cowan, it's for you. So I get up. It's 11:55 Sunday night. It's my girlfriend. So I said, why did you call me? She says, I don't know. I don't know why I called. I just called. And I was like, oh, no, you know, this is like a disaster. So anyway, so the leader comes to me that week and he says, so did the Lord tell you, did the Lord tell you what to do? And I said, explain the situation. He said, well, it's obviously the Lord. I said, no. I said, I don't have any money anyway. It's going to cost all this money to go down there. He says, well, you just need to pray and ask for money. I said, no. Within a week, I got back an unexpected tax refund that paid for the whole trip like that. So that was another one. So the leader came back to me and he said, so did the money come in? I said, well, yeah, but, I still don't know if it's the Lord. You know, what else do you need? So I said, okay, I explained to him, I need to ask my parents. Okay, now get this, if I can go do this. Now here I am, my parents, Jewish, non-believing parents, hate the fact that I've become a believer. I'm asking them if I can go down to witness on the beaches of Florida for the spring break. I thought that was that'd be a no-brainer, you know, slam dunk, stuff like that. So I went home for a short period and I talked to them about it and said, so what do you think about me going down there and stuff? They said, oh yeah, it's all right, go ahead. And I was like, I mean, folks, this is the family that has cut me off and considered me dead. They said, okay, go witness on the beaches in Florida. Okay, I mean, this was the Lord speaking. So the leader came back to me and he said, so what happened? I explained to them. He said, oh, it's obviously the Lord. And I just said, you know what? I'm not going to go. I'm just not going. And the leader said, are you sure? He said, this is kind of risky now. It's pretty clear. I mean, all these signs, the Lord's made it clear that you need to go. I said, no, I'm just not going to go. And because I didn't want to go. That's the fact that I didn't want to go. I want to go home to see this girlfriend and stuff. But remember this, faith means departing from your comfort zones. That's the reality. The next day I went to this meeting, and the leader of the meeting started speaking about the story of Yeshua, read actually from the scriptures, the story of Yeshua multiplying the loaves, the bread and the fish to all the masses of people. And you know what's interesting is this story is very similar to the story of Moses in the meat. Because remember what happens, the disciples, they go to Yeshua, and after he's been preaching all day long, and they say to them, look, you know, these people, they need to go home, they don't have any food to eat, so you got to let them go home. So what does Yeshua say to them? He says, you feed them. And the disciples are saying, where are we going to get enough food to feed these masses of people? We don't have the money to buy this food. This is just like Moses saying, where am I going to get all this food to feed the meat for all these people and so forth like this? Where am I going to get it? And so what happens? We all know the story. Yeshua says to them, well, how many loaves out there? And the disciples find this little boy. And this is what was being spoken to me that day. Find this little boy has a few loaves and a few fish. And the boy gives up the few loaves. Now, what was the loaves and the fish for? It was probably for his own family. So the boy has to sacrifice the loaves for his fish and family. Doesn't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, we all know the story. Yeshua then multiplies the loaves and the fish for thousands of people. And then the little boy gets back more than he had in return before he started out with and so forth. And the speaker is speaking this message. And the Lord is beginning to convict my heart. Because I realized that I was holding back from God. You know, and that I wasn't ready to depart from my comfort zone. And the reality was that I was being convicted deeply of my unbelief, my hard heart and stubbornness. I wasn't willing to sacrifice this little bit of time for the Lord to see what he could do. And finally, the Lord convicted me so deeply in that message that I finally relented and said, okay, all right, Lord, I'm going to go and I'm going to do what you want me to do. And you know what? It was a life-changing experience for me, literally life-changing in a dramatic way. It was stretching and faith-building, and it caused me to change my life. That's what happens. Now, here's my question in conclusion. My question is in conclusion for you. Is God asking of you something these days, and you're struggling with that he's requesting of you? Something that he's asking of you to do or to give up, he's asking you these days, and you're struggling with it because you just don't want to do it. You don't want to give it up. You don't want to do whatever he's asking you to do or stop doing whatever he's asking you to stop doing. You know, are you struggling? Second question, are you experiencing the vicissitudes and instability of change right now? I want you to consider this. You have so little. Even though you think you might have a lot, you have so little, and God has so much. That's the trade-off. Will you yield? Will you follow? Will you give your life to Yeshua, not fully knowing what the next step is, like Abraham, like Moses, like all the great men and women of God throughout all of history? Will you take that step? Let's pray. Father, we Lord, we know that change is not easy for any of us, Lord. And even as our brother Ed said before, Lord, we know you don't change, but you cause things for us to change so that we would learn about the unchangeable God, the one who's always there, always providing, wanting to show us how great and wonderful he and his ways are. And Lord, I just pray for each of us, Lord, who are facing these struggles, Lord, of stepping out, of doing something, of yielding, of whatever it might be. Lord God, that we would say yes. We would agree. We would be convicted, Lord, and we would move on, Lord God, to the next step, knowing that there's going to be change, knowing that there's going to be unexpected developments, but knowing that you're going to show yourself faithful in the midst of all these periods of time, these crises, so to speak, Lord. Father, we yield ourselves to your work in our lives, and we're willing to do what it is that you're asking us to do, or to give up what you're asking us to give up today. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction. If you need prayer after the service, please feel free to come forward and receive prayer. We have the bookstore will be open. Please, if you're a visitor, go in there and you'll get a free gift. And then we have Oneg downstairs following the service, which is our lunch. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yarer Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. He's Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, who Yeshua the Messiah. We said, amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let's have a good week in God.